Today I'm joined by Naomi Jaffe from the Capital Area Against Mass Incarceration, or CAMI. You are part of a coalition that's having a vigil called Candlelight Vigil for Clemency. Can you just talk about what is this event and why you are having a vigil for clemency?
Candlelight Vigil for Clemency is going to be on Friday, January 3rd, 2020 at 6 p.m. at the Governor's Mansion. We hope that lots of people will want to come and show the importance of challenging the terribly long sentences and the incarceration of elders and the overall injustice of the criminal justice system. Clemency doesn't solve those problems. Capital Area Against Mass Incarceration is against mass incarceration. There are 50 or 60,000 people in prison in New York State, many of them serving long and unfair sentences, racially disproportionate sentences. 6,000 people applied for clemency during the Cuomo time of the Andrew Cuomo administration, and he granted 19 of them. Even if he were to grant many more clemencies, clemency would not solve the problem of mass incarceration. Mass incarceration has to be overturned through major changes in legislation and administration and in narrative, in culture. So why do we want to have a vigil for clemency if it doesn't solve the problem? Clemency can show the way, actually, to solving the problem. Clemency can show, if it were done generously, if it were done fairly, it could show that people serving very long terms are not a danger to our community, deserve a second chance, deserve to go back to their families, are an asset rather than a threat to society. If clemency were granted generously to people who need it, deserve it, whose families are waiting for them at home, it would help to open up the space for understanding that people who are convicted of serious crimes do not deserve to suffer forever if they are low risk to reoffend.
And maybe just to back up a little bit, what does it actually mean to be granted clemency?
In New York State, the governor has a very wide discretion. There are two kinds of clemency. One is called a pardon, and that relieves people who have a record of certain kinds of disabilities that go with that record. Most of those pardons are granted to people who are not in prison, and whose prison records, for various reasons, are an impediment to their reintegration in society. And those pardons, that type of clemency, has been quite a few of those have been granted by the governor. And very notably, the governor has granted relief from disabilities for people on parole to vote. That was a very nice move. The communities appreciate that. People on parole who finished their sentences absolutely should vote, and that was a very widespread form of clemency. The other form of clemency is called a commutation, and that reduces your sentence either to time served or to a short enough time to go to the parole board. And the governor has been very stingy with that form of clemency. And so there's a feeling that the governor has made a big deal out of being the governor of clemency. But he really is only the governor of those kinds of clemencies that don't let people out of prison. And we would like to see him be generous with clemencies that do let people out of prison. He's very, very stingy with the clemencies that do let people out of prison.
Now, Cuomo has an appearance of being or likes to be seen as maybe a progressive leader. He's, you know, we've just had a couple shows on bail reform, and he's talked about closing some prisons. And so, but many other governors of other states have a much better record with clemency than he does. Can you comment on that?
I think they're all terrible, mm-hmm. really. I think that mass incarceration is really, and people have been saying that about Cuomo, that he's not as good as other governors. And except for those two governors that did something kind of strange and one time and exceptional, which I believe is Kentucky and Colorado. Kentucky and Colorado?
California.
California, yes. Other than those, they're all terrible. And Governor Cuomo, if Governor Cuomo matched any of those records, he would still be terrible. They're talking about, we're talking about double digits, like in states, in all of our states, where there are thousands and thousands of people who deserve clemency. So I'm not, so I don't love the idea of comparing the governor to other governors because all of them are buying into a narrative that says that people who have committed serious crimes almost should never be released. A handful, a tiny handful of them deserve to be released is what the national narrative in connection with clemency sounds like. And we don't believe that. We think elders should be released. We think there are all kinds of categories of people who need and deserve clemency and whose communities would benefit from their freedom. And so I would like to see New York actually be different from most other states in starting to change this narrative about people who have committed serious crimes and served long, long times in prison.
And can you go a little bit more into that? Like, if you had a say, like, what are your demands for Cuomo?
Well, the demand around clemency is a pretty general demand. We have a list of kinds of people that he really should seriously consider. These are all people that have served very long terms. And either the parole board is not letting them out because the parole process itself is very flawed. That is, the parole board often considers people only based on the crime that they originally committed and not on who they are now, not on what they're doing now, not on how low risk they are. So the parole process itself is terrible. So that's one kind of people who should be considered, who we would want the governor to consider for parole. And then there are people who are serving sentences so long that they don't ever get to the parole board. Those are people serving life without parole or what we call virtual life without parole, which means that the sentences are so long that they are almost guaranteed to die in prison. Some of the categories of people that we would like the governor to particularly look at are elders. Elders are known to be a really low risk for recidivism, and many are serving very long terms who are not the same person that they were when they committed that original crime. Survivors of violence of all kinds should get a special look. And there has been, you know, there's proposed legislation around that. There's actually a movement to talk about and change the way that the criminal justice system looks at people who are survivors of sexual violence, domestic violence, and who retaliate against their abusers and are in prison for that. People who are sentenced as minors, there's been a lot of talk about the way that young people's brains are not fully developed. It's definitely true, people who are sentenced as minors and children are definitely not the same person. But I also want us to look at the fact that anybody that's been in prison for a long time is not the same person as they were when they go there. And people who have done all kinds of good work in prison, who have been mentors, who have helped other people, who have fulfilled whatever's been required of them under very difficult circumstances in our prison system. So people who are rehabilitated, remorseful, transformed, and in general are a low risk, and in other ways are needed by their communities, people who are parents and grandparents and spouses and are needed by their communities. So all of those people, and in particular all of those categories of people who are serving long sentences, we are asking the governor to look very generously at the possibility of using clemency in a really different way than he has used it in the past and in a different way than other governors are using it.
Thanks for going into that. Circling back to the candlelight vigil for clemency on January 3rd, for someone listening to this, what can they expect if they show up there? And can you just talk a little bit more about the event itself?
Yes. We will be in front of the governor's mansion with signs and a quiet vigil and probably a small program where people will talk about their loved ones who need and deserve clemency, and we'll talk a little bit about what clemency is and what our demands are. Low-key, quiet, and with non-flame candles. We're expecting the possibility of a little light rain, but we will be there. The other thing that I personally will be doing at this vigil, since I've said that clemency doesn't solve the problem, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the things that can solve the problem. We will be promoting and asking people to come to a legislative day to challenge the legislature to do some major legislation, two pieces of major legislation that really could make a dent in this problem of elders and long-termers who have no way out of these bars. That legislative day is called the Day of Action to End Death by Incarceration Sentences and Promote Parole Justice. It is on Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. It's sponsored by the Parole Preparation Project, two New York City-based organizations, and Release Aging People from Prison. Tuesday, January 14th, 2020, they'll be bringing a bunch of buses from around the state. But for us here in the Capital District, we can join them at 10 o'clock in the morning on the third floor of the Capitol in the War Room. That will be a meeting point for Capital District folks. And I'll have more information about that, hopefully in flyers at the vigil on Friday.
Great. Thank you, Naomi Jaffe. Is there anything else that you want to add today?
No, thank you very much, EP.